Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. We considered the one thing. It is the main thing. Now I come to the affection itself, set forth here by the degrees. One thing I have desired, and that will I seek after. I've desired it, and I will desire it still. Thoughts and desires are the two primitive issues of the heart, the births of the heart. What we think of, that we desire, if it's good. So, thoughts and desires, they immediately spring from the soul, and where they are in any efficiency and strength, they stir up motion in the outward man. Desire, which is the inward motion, it stirs up outward motion until the thing desired is accomplished. Then the soul rests in a loving contentedness and enjoying of the thing desired. Now this desire, it was a spiritual desire of the prophet. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Holy desires, they issue from choice. The understanding must choose the good first before the soul embrace it. The will is but the carriage of the soul, the furthering and promotion of the soul to the good things discovered. So it supposes a choice of good things. And choice supposes an esteem of the things before we choose them. And that supposes a deliberate judging that works in esteem. So that this desire was no hasty, sudden thing, but it rose from the sanctified judgment of David that bred a holy esteem of these excellent things, the means of salvation, having the Spirit of God accompanying of them, containing such excellent comforts as they do. If I could enjoy the sweet and strong and comfortable presence of God and his ordinances, other things I could bear well enough. The need of a house, a wife, children, the pleasures and contentments of my country, yes. Therefore, one thing have I desired. The doctrine that we continue to is that the Spirit of God in the hearts of his children is effectual in stirring up such holy desires. There is nothing that characterizes and sets a stamp on a Christian so much as desires. According to the pulse of desire, so is the temper of a man. But God is a spirit and looks to the spirit especially. It is a good character of a Christian that his desire for the most part is two good things. The tenor and sway and bent of his desire is to good. One thing I have desired. The Spirit of God is effectual in stirring up these desires. So, question. But how shall we know that these desires are the chief things to distinguish a hypocrite from a true Christian, and whether they are true or not? The answer, to go no further than the text, desires are holy and spiritual. If they are about holy and spiritual things, one thing I have desired, David says. What was that? To be rich? To be great in the world? To be revenged on my enemies? No, that's not the matter. That I desire is to have near communion with God. I desire to enjoy the ordinance of God, for they show me the beauty of God. So his desire was set on spiritual objects, and that argued it was a holy desire. And then again, his desire, it was a fervent desire, as he says. One thing I have desired, and that I'll seek after. It was not a blaze, a flash, that was soon in and soon out. It was not a mere wish, a kind of infectious desire. It had fervency in it. Fervency showed that his desire was sound. He would not be quieted without the thing accomplished. And then constancy, when a man will not be taken off it. What is the bent and sway of his desires? This was David, his constant desire. Constancy and perpetuity in good things, a tenor of good desires, show that the heart is good because it's constant in them. And then again, this desire here of David, it was kindled from the love of God. Holy desires are kindled in the soul from the love of God. For what does he say here? One thing have I desired. What was that? To dwell in the house of the Lord. To do what? To behold the beauty of God. To seek God in his excellency and beauty and worthiness. All his desire was from this, that his soul was enamored with the beauty of God's house. The love of God stirred up this blessed desire in the prophet. Therefore, it was holy and spiritual as a desire. Again, as they spring from the love of God, so they tend to the honor of God. For what comes from heaven goes back to heaven again. As waters that come from a spring, they go as high as the place they come from. So holy desire is being kindled from heaven from a spirit of love. They go to heaven again. The love of God stirs them up. And he seeks God's glory and honor and inward communion with God in this. For a man out of a natural desire may desire holy things sometimes, to be free from such and such a sin, to have such and such grace. Not out of a desire to honor God, though. But if he had grace, he sees he might escape troubles, he might be free from temporal judgments, he might ingratiate himself and commend himself to this or that person whom he desires to benefit by. Therefore, he desires as much grace as may help forward his intentions in the world. He joins the world and God together in that way. Oh, no, these are not the desires that distinguish a Christian from another man, but those that spring from the love of God, that proceed inwardly from the truth of the heart, and that the things themselves please God, and that there is a loveliness in them, and that they tend to the honor of God, especially in our own good, in a secondary place. That is a character of good desires. Therefore, let us examine what our desires are, what our bent is. Desires issue from the will and affections, and they show the frame of the soul more than anything in the world. As the springs in low places are discovered by streams and vapors that come out of the place, men gather that there is a spring below, because of the ascent of vapors and such. So the vaporing out of these desires show that there is a spring of grace in the hearts. They discover that there is a spring within. And let those that mourn in Zion, that have some evidence, though they're not as good as they would be, let them look to their hearts. What is your desire? What is the bent of your soul? When a man is once converted and turned, in what is his turning? His mind, judgment, and esteem of things are greatly altered. It's not that he might be great in the world and ruin those that stand in his way. This shows that a man is a rotten hypocrite. The bent and sway of the soul shows what a man is. Indeed, this man is never quiet until he's settled again in Zion, nor until he has got materials for the temple and a place for God's honor to dwell in, Deuteronomy 12:11. If his desires are not the desires of the sluggard, then he'll endeavor to please God. As we see in the desire of David here, one thing I have desired, and that will I seek. There will be endeavor where the desire is true. For desire springs from the will, and the will is the appetite of the whole man. The understanding does not carry him, but the will is what carries him. When the will desires something, it carries in it all its parts. On this, when the desire is true, it stirs up all the powers and faculties to do their duty, to seek to attain the accomplishment and possession of that which is desired. Therefore, those that pretend this and that, oh, there is a lion in the way, Proverbs 26:13, when they might remove it, if they would, there's no true desire there. For desire is connected to removing all possible hindrances of the thing desired. God brings no fools to heaven that cannot discern the difference between these things. Therefore, let us know that our desires are of little purpose if we have some desire to be good and such, but we have a greater desire to be rich and great in the world, to have such and such a place. If the desire of something like that is greater than to be filled with God's grace, if we hate poverty and disgrace and need and this and that more than sin and hell, to which sin leads, it is a sign that our judgments are rotten and corrupt, and that our desire is not a pure spiritual desire. For it is not answerable to the thing desired. There is no proportion. David says, one thing I've desired. His desire carried him to that one thing necessary, above all other things, no matter what it was. So in this way you see from the text what the distinguishing notes of true desires are from those that are false. Let's turn a moment. Turn to our comfort. What if we find these holy desires? Oh, let us take comfort in ourselves, for God will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. Psalm 145:19. Holy desires are the birth of God's Spirit, and so not one of them shall be lost. For God regards those desires. My groanings are not hid from thee. Psalm 38:9. Therefore, if we have holy desires stirred up by God, God promotes those desires. It's a plea that we may bring to God. Lord, I desire to please thee as it is. The desire of our souls is to thy name, O Lord. Isaiah 66:8. We fail sometimes that we cannot perform actions with that zeal and earnestness as we should. But the desire and bent of our soul is to God's name. a Christian may make it his plea to God. Truly, our desires are towards his name, and we have some suitable endeavors, and our desires are more that way than to anything in the world. This is because we consider the object. Where does David's desire reside? It's of the Lord. One thing I have desired of the Lord. It was not a blind desire of a thing, but a desire directed to the right object, to God, to fulfill it. Holy desires are such as we are not ashamed of, but dare open them to God himself in prayer. There are many that pray. They say in their prayers, lead us not into temptation, Matthew 6:13, and yet they run into temptation. And there are many people that desire things that they do not dare to pray for because they really desire to be so bad. But a Christian, what he desires, he prays for. I desire in earnest to be in the house of the Lord. I desire it of the Lord. I put up my request to him, and what I pray to him for, I earnestly desire it indeed. Learn this inner word that when we have holy desires stirred up by God, turn them to prayers. A prayer is more than a desire. It is a desire sent up to God. Let us turn our desires into prayers. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Some may say God does not hear our request, that he does not grant what we ask. The peace of God which passeth understanding shall keep your hearts and minds, the apostle says. So that when we put up our request to God with thankfulness for what we've received, the soul will find peace. Therefore, I say, let us turn all our desires into prayers to maintain perpetual communion and acquaintance with God and his beauty. It is an argument of a good conscience to come often into the presence of God. A very good argument indeed. We see next his earnestness. He desires it of the Lord, and he'll seek after it. I will follow God still. Here is his importunity in prayer, his fervency, his incessancy and perseverance, as the apostle exhorted. He persevered in prayer, Ephesians 6:18. I will seek after it. In prayer, and in the use of all good means, I will do what I can. So you see one qualification of prayer. It must be with perseverance and importunity. God loves importunate suitors. Though we cannot endure to be troubled with such people, yet God loves importunate suitors. We see in Luke 18:1-8 in the parable of the widow. In this way, you see the excellent fruit of the importunity in our blessed Savior himself. And here in David, I will seek after it. I will not stop seeking it. Therefore, we're exhorted in the scriptures not to keep silent, to give God no rest. You that are the Lord's remembrancers, keep not silence, give him no rest. As Jacob wrestled with the angel and did not leave him until he had a blessing, so we also must not leave God until we have a blessing. In this way, we ought eagerly and constantly to persevere in our desires until they're fully satisfied, or else we are but hypocrites. A question arises. What is the reason that God does not presently accomplish all our desires? Well, there are various reasons. He loves to hear the desires of his servants. He loves to be pursued because he knows it's for our good. And then to keep us in a perpetual humble subjection and dependence on him, he does not grant everything all at once, but leads us along by yielding a little and a little so that he may keep us in a humble dependence. A spirit of prayer is a spirit that puts everything into exercise. Therefore, God, to keep us in all the exercise of all grace, does not necessarily answer at first. And then he would have us to set a high price on what we desire and seek after. If we had it at first, we should not set so high an esteem and price of it. And then that we might better use it when we get it. These and other reasons may be given, and you may easily conceive them yourselves. Therefore, let us not be offended with God's gracious dispensation if he does not answer our desires presently, but instead, pray still. You see then what the affection was of the holy prophet to that one thing I have desired. And he did not only desire it, but turned his desire into a prayer. He prayed to God. And he not only prayed once or twice, but he seeks it still until God promises to grant it in full. But if we will have things for our good in particular, we must receive them as the fruit of our prayers from God. You see here, he seeks and desires that he had a promise to have. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek. Amen.